You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience. News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
Here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation on this Thursday night. CP from Knicks Fan TV on the check-in. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. On tonight's episode, we're going to talk about another front office hire for the New York Knicks. No, it's not the head coach. No, it's not Tom Thibodeau. But it could be another good one to boost the front office. We're going to talk about a Knicks draft prediction that our friends at Babcock Hoops had created from their mock draft. And are more veterans on the way? Is this about to be another veteran-heavy roster? And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Let's get right into it. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. So a couple of days ago on Tuesday, one of our very own Knicks fans, he goes by the name of Alder Amo, came across a LinkedIn post from a guy named Sean McClain, who announced that he would now be working with the New York Knicks. Based on some background information and some digging, Sean McClain will be the Knicks basketball strategy lead under the Brock Aller office. Now, Sean McClain worked for a company called Crossover. Crossover was a basketball data analytics company that basically it would allow teams to insert game tape and the output would be analytics on players, you know, game statistics, player tendencies, so on and so forth. And so Sean McClain had come from Crossover, which was that data analytics company. And one of their first clients were the Cleveland Cavaliers and Brock Aller being the key stakeholder representing the Cavs. So they had built up a relationship from that time, from Brock Aller's stint with the Cavaliers. And now Sean McClain is now taking his analytical expertise to Leon Rose and the Knicks front office. So this is an article from Alder. Great job on Alder. Alder broke the story before everybody on the Knicks beat. So excellent job by Alder. He also has called the show before, so once again, tip your cap to Alder on the great find. But just some notable quotes on both Brock Aller and Sean McClain. And this is from the CEO of Crossover. His name is Vasu Kulkarni. And what he says about Brock, he says he's always been an analytics guy. Cavaliers have had a very strong analytics staff for as long as I've been working with them. And then on, he says, Brock Aller is a beast, insanely loyal, the kind of guy you would love to have on your side. And he's thrilled to be looking to turn the Knicks franchise around. On Sean McLaughlin, he said, Sean was a Swiss Army knife for us at Crossover. He's a data nerd, also a jock who was a sports junkie. This is the key quote from Vasu here. He says, Sean McClain can work the spreadsheets. Most importantly, he can translate the numbers into basketball talk, which is important to be able to get your point across to the front office guys as well as the coaching staff. I think that is his biggest strength. There's plenty of data guys out there, but the basketball side won't take you seriously if you can't speak their lingo. So that's his take on Sean McClain. And so what does this mean for the Leon Rose front office? Well, what it means is, you know, obviously the talent still has to come together, right? The proof is still going to be in the pudding in what they put together on the court over these next few years. And you hope it's the next few years and that they remain patient in their build. But I think what it means is that you got to like what Leon Rose is doing in terms of putting this roster together. And what he's doing is he's bringing in the seasoned veterans in Scott Perry and Walt Perrin, you know, seasoned veterans, 20 plus years on the job in terms of analyzing talent through the draft. But then on the flip side, he's also complimenting them with young minds, sharp thinkers, different ways of thinking, you know, different ways of thinking. And obviously in Aller and McClain and maybe even Alex Klein, a young scout, maybe those guys are going to bring a more analytical focus to the game. And maybe together you have some synergy there where these guys can help using the analytics to help find some diamonds in the rough with Perrin and Perry's skill sets in terms of identifying talent through the draft as well. Maybe that comes together with some nice synergy in addition to Worldwide West and his relationship building acumen. So again, we'll see what happens. I can't say that this is a better staff than what they've had because I'm not too sure of the underlings that they had under the Mills regime. All I can say is it looks like Leon Rose's approach is a prudent approach, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens from there. So I can't knock the approach. Let's see what they do in terms of putting some actual talent on the floor. So that's Sean McClain. Salute to Alder for the scoop. Great job. Like I said, he actually beat the beat on that one. Had the beat confirming his reports. So great job by Alder. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Shout out to Edwin Prudent. He's new in the chat. Edwin, salute. He says he's been a Knicks fan since 1984. What's going on, Edwin? CP the Artist in here, my guy, CP the Artist. What's going on? I definitely got to touch on what CP the Artist has been working on for sure, because that'll definitely give the chat a good laugh. Park City Dion, what's going on? Dion, how you feeling? Vegan X in the chat. My guy Ernesto in here. John Baptiste. Joseph, what's going on? How you guys feeling? Speaking of front office, it's been announced at the NBA bubble in Orlando that they're going to allow the teams like the Knicks to send representatives down to Orlando if they want to scout games. So that should be a good look in terms of, you know, getting some of our guys out there to you know, get up close and personal game side and see what's up with potential free agents, potential trade targets, and to begin, you know, continue to network and have a representative for the Knicks out there. So looks like they will be allowing some representatives from all 30 teams, including the 8 who didn't make it to the bubble, to get out there in Orlando and chop it up and scout. So should be a good deal for the Knicks, and let's see what happens in the bubble. The Illuminated One, what's going on, says team hashtag new. So welcome to the chat. The Illuminated One. All right, what else we got going on here? Let's talk about the draft. So my guys at Babcock Hoops came up with a mailbag in terms of, you know, my guy Matt Babcock reached out to me in terms of a Q&A. So it was my question to Matt. Check it out right here. Let me pull this up real quick. My question is, the Knicks currently have the 27th pick, which belongs to the Clippers. It could change depending on how the Clippers finish the season. Who are some draft prospects from the 25 to 30 range that the Knicks should be taking a look at? Thanks a lot.
ACP, I hope you're doing well. So first of all, you know, the Knicks have three picks right now. So right now they're slotted to have the 6th pick, the 27th pick, and the 38th pick. In regards to that second first-round pick, I think a lot of it's going to be determined by who they take with that first pick. I think a few guys that they could take a look at. Right now I have them taking LaMelo Ball at 6, which I'm not real confident he'll get to that point in the draft, but the way this simulated draft order fell, if all those teams keep their picks and don't trade, I just had LaMelo slip in there, but LaMelo is definitely going to be hot on their list depending on where they're picking. Denny Abdia, Anthony Edwards, or a couple other guys. And so, you know, with LaMelo, you know, going with that sixth pick in this specific mock draft, I had them taking Tyrese Maxey at 27. And, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, are up in arms that I have Maxey slipping that far. But if he is there and they do take LaMelo with that first pick, I like that pairing. And I see Tyrese Maxey as an undersized shooting guard. That's a good, versatile defender, just tough kid that would be a nice nice match with LaMelo. LaMelo's a big point guard that isn't very good defensively. They would probably fit well together. And with that second round pick, I currently have them taking Tyler Bay from Colorado. You know, undersized power forward that's a big time athlete, versatile defender. So in that, you know, in this case, it's them adding three different guys that they don't really have in their system right now. So it's going to be an interesting draft night for the Knicks. You know, whether they keep all those picks or not, we'll see. But I think they can go in a number of different directions.
Salute to my guy, Matt Babcock, Babcock Hoops on that one. So a lot of you guys were thinking, you know, the LaMelo talk was LaMelo at six is what they had in their mock draft. So in their mock draft, they had Golden State taking Wiseman at one, Obi going to Minnesota at two. Like, do you think Minnesota would take Obi with Towns there at two? I'm not so sure about that. I don't see that. They have the Pistons taking Edwards at three, possible. I think they could go, obviously, they could go LaMelo at that route. But Edwards at three, Okongwu going to the Hawks at four, Denny at five, and then LaMelo slipping to the Knicks at six. I'm not so sure because you could have teams like the Bulls in this mock scenario, right? This is just a mock draft, but in this scenario, you could have teams like the Bulls, maybe even Charlotte, maybe even the Wizards trying to jump the Knicks to try to get LaMelo. And I still think Detroit would go LaMelo over Edwards at three, but that's how they had it shaken out. I wouldn't see OB going to the Timberwolves at two. But that's how their mock draft shook out. Now, they have Maxey. He picked Maxey to the Knicks at 27. I don't know. You guys be the judge. You see Maxey slipping to the Knicks at 27? I'm not so sure, but I would take it. I think Maxey, he's a gamer. You know, Maxey comes off as a gamer. Excellent finisher, downhill guy. Versatile defender, as Matt was saying. And I think Maxey can take his game up another level at the next level. You know, he's in that three guard backcourt with Quickley and Hagans as well at Kentucky. I think Maxey's going to turn up at the next level, man. Some people say he's undersized at the two. So was Donovan Mitchell. You know, Maxey's 6'3". So I think with the right team, I think this kid could do some damage at the next level, man. I think Maxey could definitely do some damage at the next level. I don't see him falling. You know, T. Williams in the chat says he's top 15. Yeah, I don't see Maxey falling that far down at 27. But anything's possible, man. Anything is possible. And then at the second round pick, he has Tyler Bay. He has the Knicks taking Tyler Bay at that second round pick. I wouldn't mind that. You know, Bay is a defensive first player out of Colorado, 6'7", athleticism through the roof. And again, if you're thinking about, you know, who your coach is going to be and potentially Tibbs, then you're going to have to bring in some guys with some defensive acumen, no doubt about it. And Tyler Bay certainly fits the bill. You know, Tyler Bay certainly fits the bill. My guy, shout out my guy, Spencer Perlman. You know, Spencer's take on Tyler Bay is that in terms of what his role, what his ceiling can be, and that depends on his jump shot. Spencer in particular likes the fact that he can be a capable catch and shoot three-point shooter. A lot of guys, a lot of scouts compare him, think he's a low-budget Matrix, low-budget Sean Marion. What do you guys think about Tyler Bay? Like I said, when you're looking at these late round picks, this late first, you're looking at this second round pick, you're just looking for guys that can crack the rotation. You know, forget stars, forget big time contributors. You're looking for guys that can crack the rotation and contribute, some high IQ players that can slot in and fill a role. You're looking for those role players in those in those slots in the draft. Right now, the Knicks are looking at 27 with that Clippers pick. Could change depending on where the Clippers finish in the bubble. And so, Bay is who we had there. And then he had Maxey at 27. But what Spencer's saying is he feels like Bay wasn't utilized as well in catch-and-shoot situations, that he has a lot of potential as a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. And if you combine that with the defensive prowess, and you got your prototypical 3 and D player, combine that with the athleticism, another rim runner finisher, wouldn't be a bad pick. Would not be a bad pick. Jason Emmons chat says, Tyler Emmons, good three-point shooter, but low volume. Yeah, low volume. So that could certainly improve, obviously, at the next level. Just all depends on how he's utilized. Jay Keys in the chat says, trade 27 and 38, move up to 15, 16. Jay, I wish GMs thought like you, man, but I don't think you're going to get there with that, with those picks. Not in this draft, doesn't seem like it. Maybe next year's draft, maybe 2021, where they feel like, you know, there's some big-time talent in 2021. A lot of these guys going to that G League team, man. A lot of these Jalen Green. You got Jonathan Kuminga just committed to that new G League team. So that's going to be the talk. That is going to be the talk. Let's go to the phones. Let's hear what the people have to say. Let's go to my guy, Raw Hebrew Remnant in the chat. Wants to talk draft. What's up, bro? How you feeling?
How you doing, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Go ahead, bro.
Say, first of all, great show, man. I'm from Long Island, and you guys talk when your show comes on, it reminds me of talking with my fellas on Long Island about the Knicks. So it's like being home. I'm in Virginia now, but I'm from Long Island.
No doubt. So
with the draft, I'm getting mixed messages from. Well, we always get mixed messages from the fans, but I'm getting mixed messages from the management. We have a bunch of young players. The New York Knicks have never really took the time to develop young players. I like the young players that we have. And I think people are expecting a lot from this draft. I think people are expecting like a playoff team. I don't see that. And if they get veterans, they're going to stunt the growth like they did last year. You know, Bobby Portis caused Doc not to get time. And you got EP, he caused Frank not to get time. So you want to develop the young players. So I don't know how they're going to, it seems like they're trying to go for playoffs and development at the same time. You can't do that. I don't know how they're going to do that. And outside of Ball and Edwards and Obi, I don't see an impact player in this draft. There's always some guy that you don't expect that comes through, but I don't see an impact player. So after that, anybody you draft, you have Killian Hayes, you're going to have to develop him. He's not going to come in and be a star right away. So anybody we get, we're going to have to develop. And so I don't know if the fans or the management has the patience to do that, and that's been our biggest problem. What do you think?
Great call. Appreciate the call, man. Always in here. Raw Hebrew Remnant been in here since the beginning. And, you know, your point on the draft in terms of development and win now kind of leads me to my next topic is Ian Begley brought up a point in his mailbag that he expects the Knicks to field a veteran heavy roster again going into next year. And so to Raw Hebrew Remnant's point, you know, we do need to be developing. Yes, I totally agree. You have to expect that with the bevy of draft picks that the Knicks have within the next few years, a lot of these kids are not, they're not going to keep all these kids, right? They're not going to keep all these kids. You got to, at least between, I believe my guy, Jeremy Cohen, the coincidence, had mentioned this. You have at least 13 assets under 24 if you combine the young players on the roster now and the draft capital over the next 2 years. All those guys are not going to shake loose. So for one, I think a guy like I think DSJ is gone. Right, you have to get rid of the gluttony of average players and figure out which one of these young guys are going to fill a role. So I think DSJ is going to be gone. I think they do keep Frank. because he can be a capable defender, especially, again, if you're bringing in Tibbs, you're going to need defensive-oriented players, right? You're going to need defensive-minded players, no doubt about it. So I think DSA is going to be gone. I don't think Dotson will be back just by the way that they played him this year. I don't think Dotson is coming back. Knox, I think, will be here. I don't see his trade value being worth much anyway, so I think it behooves them to try to develop Knox and see if it's going to be Tibbs, see what Tibbs can get out of him. You have Iggy in the G League. What are you going to do with Iggy? Now you're looking at another three draft picks coming in again. You know, all these players are not going to make it. All these players are not going to make it. One thing we do know is that RJ and Mitch are going to be the cornerstones. Now you got to figure out the pieces to fill around them or with them that's going to make a complementary team. Right? Now, on the playoff side, this team, I don't think, no matter who they get, I don't think they're necessarily going to be a playoff team. But on the topic of veterans, the problem that the Knicks have had is that they haven't, in a long time, they haven't had quality veterans. Elfrid Payton, as I've been saying all year long, he's a backup point guard. Portis is a backup player. These guys are not going to help you win games. These guys are not going to help you move the needle. I remember my prediction going into the season was that this team was going to win 30 wins was my bar. 30 wins was my bar for this team. Now, that's not good. That's not playoffs. That was just what I had hoped that this team would get to in order for me to define this past season as successful. That's not even playoffs. So that just goes to show you what I thought about the veteran talent that they brought in here. Mook was a solid pickup. I thought Mook was a solid pickup. Again, Randall, he played above his role. That was not a good thing for this team. Payton, while he could be a solid player, he's a backup point guard. These type of players are not going to move the needle unless RJ would have taken a huge leap in his first year, right? Like a Ja Morant type of impact on this team. And he just didn't have that. It doesn't mean that he can't. It just means that his development, his progression is going to take a little bit longer than his peers, than a Zion or a RJ. So what does that mean to me? This is why I'm high on bringing in CP3. Yes, injuries, risk. Yes, the contract is big, but CP3 is a guy to me that's going to help this team move the needle. He's going to make RJ a better player. He's going to make Mitch a better player. If you bring in that three that can open the floor for you, that low usage three-point shooter, a Joe Harris, hint, hint, Joe Harris, that is going to make your team better. You understand? That is going to make your team better, man. That is going to move the needle for this team. So when Begley says we need to bring, they may have another veteran-heavy roster, that's not necessarily a bad thing if they can bring in the quality veterans that can help make this team better. And to me, you have an offseason, you go get CP3, you go get Joe Harris. That's a good offseason for me. Bring back Bullock. Bring back Taj. Harkless, I didn't like how they used Harkless. But again, thinking defense, if you're thinking about bringing in Tibbs and you're thinking defense, a Harkless is a guy that I would keep on the bench. I didn't like how they used him last year, prioritizing him over the kids, because a guy like a Harkless on a bad team, he's not going to be valuable on a bad team. All his flaws are going to be exposed. And on a better team, a team that has better pieces to fit, a guy like a Harkless can help that team. So it's not a bad thing to have a veteran-heavy roster if these guys can help make the team better. Now, I told you guys, the one player who I wouldn't bring back, and he's my favorite player in the league, has always been since he's been there, is Melo. I wouldn't bring Melo back because I don't think that Melo can come here and be the low-usage role player that he has been at Portland. How could you do that mentally? come back to the place that you were the king of the city, you were the leader of the team, and come back and just fill in. I don't see that with Leon Rose being the president, your former agent, and say you bring in a CP3. I wouldn't bring that. I wouldn't bring Melo back. I don't think that's going to work. I think that's bad news. And I love Melo. Y'all know Melo's my guy. But I wouldn't do that. I would not do that at all. So, you know, that's just my take. You have to have these quality veterans to move this needle. If you're going to have a team full of kids, it's not going to go anywhere unless you're getting the next Ja, or you're getting the next Zion, you're getting the next LeBron, you know, you're getting the next kid that as a rookie, he's boom, hitting the ground like gangbusters. And that's not likely. None of these kids on the draft, I don't think is going to come in and make an immediate impact. Not LaMelo, not Anthony Edwards, not any of them. I don't think. Because you got to think about it like this too. The draft is October 16th. There's no summer league. None of your kids right now are getting involved in organized play unless they're setting it up on their own. The draft is October 16th. Training camp, this is all tentative dates. Training camp is November 10th. That's three weeks from the draft. There's no summer league. And then the season is tentative to start December 1st. So when are if you're going to have a kid, if you're going to have a roster of primarily kids, when is that chemistry going to develop amongst these kids? With a new coach, a new coaching staff. So these kids, some had injury-shortened seasons and some just had pandemic-shortened seasons. So this team is already going to be starting off behind the eight ball. So I think that's why it's even more important to have, yes, bring back your vets, bring in your vets, but your quality vets. You need a quality vet. If you get one high usage, one low usage veteran that can really help this team be better, I think you're in a good position. You know, I think you're in a good position. Well, salute to Roll Hebrew Remnant for that. Let's go to Les from the Bronx. Les was in here first, actually. Les, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
All right. I want to talk about two topics. If Jason Kidd gets hired, do you see him becoming a good, great coach, or what type of coach with the Knicks? And the Knicks don't sign Carmelo Anthony. Can you see them bringing back Marcus Morris, who was a dog for them?
Yeah, appreciate the call, man. One on Kidd. I think Jason Kidd, the mind that Jason Kidd has, there's no reason he can't be a good coach in this league. It's just like, is he gonna stick around on a team? He's already been head coach on two teams already, and has barely lasted 5 years. You know, so he went to the Lakers to you know, as Kmart said, learn from his mistakes. And according to Berman, he impressed the Knicks brass on his interview. I'm not so sure how true that is. Might be all speculation, but I don't think Kidd's going to get the job. I still think it'll be Tibbs, but there's no way Jason Kidd can't be a good head coach in this league. As long as, again, the teams have patience with him. He has patience himself to stick it through, and he builds a staff. But there's no reason Jason Kidd couldn't be a good head coach in this league. I don't see why he couldn't. I don't necessarily want him on the Knicks, but I couldn't see Jason Kidd not being a good head coach. As far as Mook, you know, that the problem was this year with Mook, with Randall, and with Peyton is that the high utilization, and it took away from RJ's development. If you're gonna trade Randall, I would bring Mook back. If you're going to trade him, I would bring Mook back. But I think the Knicks did the best thing. I think they traded him on an uptick. They traded him when his stock was highest. And so I think they did the best thing that they could was they signed a player that they had no business getting, fell into their lap. and he had a great season, his best season of his career. And they traded him on a high. And I thought that was a great move by Mills and Perry to bring back some draft capital. Let's see what happens with the Clippers. You know, now he's the fifth or sixth option with the Clippers. So you're not going to see Mook's impact on the Clippers in the bubble that he had with the Knicks. His role is completely different. You know, his role is completely different. So if they did bring him back, you got to move Randle. You got to move Randle. You can't bring him back and be having the same team that you had last year, because those pieces just don't fit. Cynthia Wolf in the building. Any word on Stackhouse getting an interview? Jerry Stackhouse did not get an interview. Mark Jackson did not get an interview. Jeff Van Gundy did not get an interview. Becky Hammon, as far as we know, Becky Hammon did not get an interview. Who else? Ettore Messina didn't get an interview. I'm just ripping off names that some of you guys had been favoring. Those guys did not get interviews with the Orange and Blue. From what we know, the interviews are over. A lot of speculation is that an announcement is expected next week. Spoke to Begley, he thought next week as well. So we'll see. So let's see. Kaiser Sose 718 says, the CP3 Joe Harris Taj is the same approach Knicks have been doing. Let's go young for once. I don't really see it that way. Yes, they've been bringing in vets, but they haven't been bringing in good ones. If Elfrid Payton, if you start in the season with Elfrid Payton as your starting point guard, you're going nowhere. You're going nowhere, man. Taj is a good vet. You can't have all kids and expect to do anything unless you have some blue chippers in that crop. Unless you have some blue chippers in that crop. Like John Morant did this year. You know what I mean? Like John Morant did this year. So I don't, you have to have vets, man. Every interview that we did from the X-Men to Charlie Ward to Rasheed Wallace to Kenyon Martin, these guys played in the league. Don't take my word for it. Take their word for it. They played at a high level. You need quality veterans to win. You need them to win. You need your kids to be the stars. If you're not going to acquire a star via free agency or trade, you need your draft prospects to ultimately be the leaders for the team or the heavy lifters for the team. But you still need vets. Guacho Cinco says, is RJ not a blue chipper? I'm not saying he's not, but what I'm saying is you would need him to be a guy that the team can really ride to justify not bringing in quality veterans. To me, I go back to CP3 thing. To me, CP3 will instantly make him a better player. Instantly. I'm not saying RJ's not a blue chipper. I'm saying he may take a little bit longer to come along than his peers. That's all I'm saying. Eddie Rowland, Taj knows his role. He's a quintessential backup to Mitch. Where Taj struggled when he started in his matchups with Embiid, with Gobert, with some of the bigger bigs, you know, because he played out of position. Taj is really a power forward, you know. In this day and age, yeah, he's going to play the five. But on a team with better vets, that's when you see, and more cohesion, more chemistry, that's when you see Taj's value as a role player. So, and Dan Wynn saying you don't have to win next year. I'm not saying playoffs. I'm not saying playoffs, but you got to make improvements, man. You got to build. You have to build. This team won 17 games 2 years ago. What they win this year? 22? Yes, it was a pandemic shortened season. They really weren't that much better. You could argue they were sometimes worse. So that's my argument there. Appreciate the call, Les. Let's go to my guy, CP, the artist in the building. CP, how you feeling, man?
What's up, buddy?
How you doing, bro?
Man, the audio on this side is kind of bad, so I guess I'll make this short and sweet.
Okay.
Denny, man, I'm kind of feeling Denny. And so I was wondering, like, if you would wake up one morning after draft night and the Knicks had picked up Denny and Kara Lewis in the second, in the late first round. Let's say the Knicks had like traded like Kevin Knox and maybe DSJ to move up in the draft to get like, you know, maybe higher in the first round. How would you feel about that?
Oh, that'd be excellent. That would be excellent. I would absolutely take that. When you're looking at Denny, when you're looking at Kira, and you're looking at RJ on the court together, you have three playmakers. You got three playmakers. Denny's having an excellent return from the Israeli season, shooting damn near 50% from three. You have Kyra Lewis, who can knock it down off ball. You have Denny, who's making plays, who can run the ball from end to end. You know, capable defenders. That would be excellent. Now, what you're not going to get is you're not going to get up to Kyra by trading Kevin Knox and DSJ. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to pay to play.
True. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to have to pay to play.
Yeah.
But that's a good draft.
Yeah. So what about like either Maxey or the kid from Duke? You think we could get them one of those in the 27th pick?
I don't think Maxey falls that far. Which kid from Duke are you talking about?
Stanley. Is it Cassius Stanley?
Yeah, Stanley. Winston is with Michigan State. I think Stanley, I think that's about his range, that late first, early second range from what you're seeing in the mocks.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, man, appreciate the call, man. Appreciate the call. I mean, listen, you coming out of your draft with Denny, depending on where you pick, right? Depending on where you pick. Right now, the Knicks have a 50% chance of picking 7th and 8th. So, you know, Denny's, I keep telling you, Denny could be a realistic option for the Knicks. And so, I think his skill, what's there not to like about his skill set? Yeah, you want to see if it's going to translate at the NBA. I know some of you guys are a little bit leery of going the Euro route. But from what the scouts are telling you, you know, you have a high IQ player, a good playmaker from what you've seen. And if he can knock down that three ball off the catch and shoot, go for it. You know, go for it. We're trying to get the right pieces to put this thing together, man. I know a lot of you guys want that home run. T. Williams, you want that home run. You want that superstar. That all-star that the Knicks, that's going to put the Knicks on his back. Maybe that might not be the draft for it. I'm just being realistic. We got to be realistic. This draft may not be it. But if it's some guys that can fill their role and continue to help build this team, then that's the move. We're trying to get on an upward trajectory. That's all we're trying to get to. You know, trying to get on that upward trajectory. Let me shout out the super chats that came in. So to everybody in the chat once again. Damn, we cracked 700 again. Oh, man. Do we got to do another giveaway? We cracked 700. I got to move the needle, man. You guys are supporting the show too much, man. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. If you're new in the chat, leave a hashtag new. This is number one show for the fans, by the fans. CP from Knicks Fan TV checking in. Remember, for all you guys that are new, that this show is available in audio podcast format. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Stitcher, and Google Play. So you don't have any excuse to miss this show. It's available in video and audio format. And yeah, man, all we need you to do, hit that thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. It's free to do so. Daniel Constant just did it. Daniel, welcome to the program. Welcome to the family. Hit that notification bell so you don't miss the next show. Share these videos, whether it's on social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, or text. You know, if there's a basketball fan, if there's a Knicks fan who doesn't know about this show, bring them in. Let them know about it. Shout out Jay Empire, team hashtag new. Chris Dom in the chat, team hashtag new. My guy Brett B.I. Wells just checked in on the check-in. What's going on? John Talento says, we're getting stronger. Yeah, you're damn right. We definitely are, man. Gloria Cardena says, Knicks fan TV number one. Appreciate it. Auto Matt says, we got 125 likes in here. We got to pick those likes up. Everybody hit that thumbs up button. Hit that thumbs up button. We've been doing real good with the thumbs up lately, man. Hit that thumbs up button. That's what we need for your support. Chris Don, welcome to the family. He just subscribed. Subscribing is free. And make sure you guys sign up for the mailing list. Very important to sign up for the mailing list. Like I said, we need that just to get in contact with you guys. We're going to start doing some newsletters, letting you guys know about future content, future events. Once we start getting back outside, we won't share your information with any third parties. We don't sell your information by any means. And so it's strictly to have a database to get in contact with you guys outside of YouTube, because you just never know with social media. If this thing came crashing down and I lost your contact, we'd have to be starting from scratch. So that's how you guys can help us out, and we definitely appreciate it. All right, what's the giveaway? All right, so I got my whole collection of hats. So last time we gave away the gray joint. Let's do the black. Let's do the black joint, the black metallic, all black. This is a 7.5, though. This is a fitted. Brand new with the tags. No Fulton Street knockoffs for you New Yorkers. No Fulton Street knockoffs. This is a brand new fitted all black joint. So Dave, if you can make another form, send it to me. Let me know when it's ready. Send it out to the chat. Dave's going to send the form out to the chat. So we'll run the drawing in about maybe 20 minutes or so and give you guys a chance. 7.5, man. So you gotta have your dome. Your dome gotta be right. Your dome gotta be right. Smoking Blue says, damn. So he didn't make the cut. He didn't make the cut. All right. Donald Shelby, Knicks fan since 9-2. Same here, man. Welcome to the program. Donald Shelby, Hector Morales said a Jared Jeffries jersey. I wouldn't do that to you guys, man. I would not do that to you guys, man. No Jared jerseys. No Jared jerseys, man. Somebody in chat said pause. All right, whatever, man. It is what it is. Simmons Singh says he can't wear a hat. Yeah, we got other stuff too, man. Sometimes I just pull it out the wardrobe and we got good stuff. Back to the phones. DJ Cash from Jersey, what's going on, bro?
Hey, what's going on, CP? How's it going tonight?
Good, man. How you feeling, bro?
Good. I'm good. Leo, like you were saying in reference to the draft, you know, this draft ain't going to be a cure-all, even though, you know, we got some good picks, but it's not going to be a cure-all. Getting some of the components. Now, like, you know, LaMelo Ball, yeah, it'd be great if we can get him. I like Denny. It's been talked about. But I also like Kira Lewis. Now, if we can get, you know, either one of these players, you know, they would help to complement RJ and his game. But then you talked about that veteran presence. You know, you gotta get a couple of dogs. You gotta, you know, get some guys that can help teach and mentor the young people. You know, you mentioned like about Carmelo, Mo Harkless, good people, you know. Morris, yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and also Taj Gibson, because these guys can help and teach the young people, you know, and they're going to need that. Again, they can't, you know, they you know, though they are going to be the future and maybe carry some of the load in terms of minutes, but, you know, they need this veteran presence. I mean, I know you mentioned Chris Paul. Chris Paul comes at a price, but
yeah,
for what he would be able to give to help, say, someone like Akira Lewis or LaMelo Ball, or even a Denny for that matter, you know, it would be greatly appreciated. It'd be greatly helpful. You know, I mean, it'll help RJ, it'll help Mitch, it'll just help and uplift the team, you know, overall. So, you know, I definitely agree with you on that. Now, one more point I just wanted to make in reference to the picks. I think that next pick in the first round we got, we should look for a defensive guy. I think Tyler Bay was mentioned, a 3-and-D guy. I mean, yeah, there's some things that he's not going to be able to do. But again, you know, you got to have someone with that defensive presence. And let's not forget about our stretch four, someone whom we can use too. I know, you know, he may be banking on Christian Wood, but that might not work out. So, need to have a plan B in that area. So what do you think about that, CP?
Absolutely, DJK. I appreciate the call, man. Definitely appreciate it. Yeah, on the veteran presence, like I said, I think a guy like CP3 is going to elevate us immensely. Look what he's doing with the Thunder. I mean, look no further than what he's doing with the Thunder. Without CP3, there's no chance that team is even coming close to the playoffs right now. So just look at the impact that he's having with the Thunder. He could play, you could play him and LaMelo together in the backcourt. You could play, you know, him and as a starter to be a teacher, to be a bridge to your young veteran point guard. You know, a lot of these kids are coming in so early, man. And like I said, especially this year with the pandemic and these kids having shortened seasons, not getting the chemistry together, no summer league, barely a training camp. It's going to be very important to get some veteran leadership in here that's going to help these kids get it together. In terms of the draft, certainly my key needs in the draft, certainly the point guard, a capable scorer that you can play off ball with RJ. Defense, a stretch four for sure, whether it's going to be the draft, the free agency, or trade. You're going to need a good stretch four. That was one thing that you had hoped Randall was going to bring with him from New Orleans. He was a 40% shooter from New Orleans. Didn't work out that way. Portis played better, but at $15 million, there's a lot of speculation that he's not going to be back next year. And even though I didn't mind how Portis played late in the season, $15 million is a lot of money. I don't see them bringing him back at that price. Could they get him for less? Maybe. We'll see. Could they get him for less? We shall see. Christian Wood will be an intriguing player. Now, the question I have for a lot of you guys is, do you trust the lack of sample size of Christian Wood? What do you guys think about that? You know, Christian Wood, for most of his career, has been, a journeyman trying to get right. I was very impressed with him in Summer League a couple years ago when he came onto the scene. And I thought he was a guy that, you know, when the Knicks did end up with Mitch, I didn't think that they would bring in a Christian Wood at that time. But he was an intriguing player to bring in. But it seems like he's coming to his own on with the Pistons. But with Andre Drummond gone from the Pistons, could he take that role? Could he take over that role? And I think if the Knicks are intent on keeping Randall, I don't think they would spend that cap space and get Wood. You know, if they keep Randall, I don't see them bringing Wood. You know, but DJ Cash, definitely appreciate the call. Let me run through the super chats real quick. Raw Hebrew Remnant says, I think if the Knicks don't get Ball or Edwards, I hope for Obi. All right, so to you, what do you guys in the chat think about Obi Toppin as a potential Knicks pick? Cold-blooded heel, 31. I don't know what type of dollars this is. Maybe Australian dollar. Appreciate that. He says, hit that thumbs up button. CP, could you see AD leaving the Lakers if they win the chip? He would be the biggest thing in basketball if he led the Knicks to the playoffs. Draft LaMelo, speak it into existence. Well, I will say on AD, I told you guys I know for a fact AD wanted to play for the Knicks when he was traded to the Lakers. Knicks just didn't have the pieces to get the trade done. He would have came here, he would have signed, he would have stayed. He wanted to play here. He wanted to come to the Knicks. Lakers just had the better trade package. If he wins with the Lakers, which I don't think he will, would he leave LeBron and pass up opportunities for more championships? I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure if he would do that and come here to take on the stress. I don't know, man. You know, you're already at the pinnacle or close to it. You could touch the championship, and then you're going to come to the basement. I'm not so sure. Human nature-wise, I don't know, man. So, but like I said, he did want to come here. He did want to come here. Knicks just didn't have the package to offer. So, but I would love to see it. Let's see who else we got. Joe Collins in the chat says, risk it all for Melo Ball. Anything over six. We got Hayes, kid for coach. Yeah, Killian Hayes. Any Killian people in the chat? Let me know. Shout out JD, West Hempstead, Long Island in the building. If you're from Long Island, just throw a 516 in the chat. Let me know if you're in here. Sean Richardson also in the chat. Sean, how you feeling? Appreciate it. For those of you looking for the giveaway and the mailing list, Dave and should be sending out the link shortly. And Dave, just let me know when it's ready so I can pull it up on my end as well. We'll do the giveaway in a little bit. 733 in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Salute to everybody watching on Facebook as well. Okay, back to the phones we go. North Dakota. We going to North Dakota. Let me throw my North Face on. We got Marshall checking in. Marshall, it's been a minute, man. How you feeling?
Yeah, it's been good, man. Just chilling.
Yeah, been a minute. How's everything, all right? How's the weather out there, man? Is it snowing
everything's good.
Is it a blizzard? You good?
No, it's not snowing. It's the middle of the summer. It's like 80s night.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, we even got the internet out here, too.
Okay, so. All right. They're moving up in North Dakota. They're moving up.
So I just got like one or two quick thoughts for you. Mm-hmm. And see what you think about it. Why not? Then, if we're going to look at a veteran heavy or a good veteran presence on the squad coming for next year, why not dip back into the EuroLeague or the FIBA Basketball Champions League or the Liga ACB League? Because those leagues have produced immediate impact players, especially the EuroLeague. It's almost like the NBA. So why not go get veterans that are going to be at that level already, have the coaching, have the experience, everything that we need. So, I mean, it's already produced, what, Luka, Nikola Jokic, Kristaps, even though we don't talk about his name.
Yeah.
And then there's that Bogdanovic, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are your thoughts about dipping the toe back into the EuroLeague and the FIBA Basketball Championship?
Yeah. Hey, well, listen. My thing is, if they can play, they can play. I'm going to leave it to Walt Perrin. I'm going to leave it to Ninja Pete. I'm going to leave it to Alex Klein and all the scouts out there to go out there and find the talent. If it's out there in the EuroLeague, if it's out there in ACB, if it's out there in the Turkish League in China, I don't care where it is. I don't care where they come from. Get me some talent in here. We want to win games. That's it. You know, I don't watch those leagues as extensively as obviously NBA or college basketball, so I can't, you know, really comment on which players in particular that I would bring across, but I'm going to leave it to the experts to bring those guys in, man. And that's one thing, one of the you know, things that Walt Perrin gets applauded for is he's a worker and he's going to scour the globe for talent and he doesn't mind reaching for a talent if he feels that it fits the overall dynamic of the team and where they want to go. So that's what I would say. You know, I'm open to anywhere, man. If you could play Marshall, you Marshall from North Dakota, go ahead and suit up, man. Go ahead and suit up. So, the thing with CP the Artist. So CP the Artist, and for some of you guys who have been tuning in for a while and been hearing the battle of the fans between Ari and Sergio, there was a little exchange, a little call after call exchange between CP the Artist and Ari. A couple weeks ago. So Ari's been offline a little bit. It was his birthday weekend last weekend, so he's been out getting after. But CP the Artist has been firing some shots, and he's an artist. And this was his shot at Ari. For those of you listening on the podcast, yeah, this is good. It's Ari holding a picture of Iso Zoe with a sign in his hand, said, "Hey, ladies, Chuck D said my name." And Sorry Ari is Ari's little catchphrase, which CP the Artist rebranded it that Sorry Ari. So CP the Artist wants the smoke. So I know Ari's going to catch this on the replay. I know I'm going to catch like a barrage of DMs. So I would expect to hear from Ari on the next show. We might have a battle of the fans brewing. So CP the Artist with the shot fired on Ari, man. Oh, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. So that should be a good one. Battle of the fans. I don't know what part we are. Maybe part four. But salute to Ari. Who's in here? 516. We got White Falcon 44. No Dice 414 in here. We got Dante is Annie Monk 516 in here. Crooklyn X, what's going on? Salute to everybody in LI repping heavy. We got 768 people in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Make no mistake. Number one show for the fans by the fans. For some of you guys in the tri-state area, just something to bring light on, shed light on. Taj Gibson and his foundation have been going heavy out here, man. They've been doing a lot of great work in the community. They've been working with New York City Housing Authority, just bringing food to the workers, bringing food to the first responders. This Saturday, the 18th, 3 p.m. in Brooklyn, they're going to be doing a peace walk, a ceasefire peace walk. Taj Gibson and his foundation, and it's going to be starting at Broadway Junction in Brooklyn. So the peace walk is going to be starting at Broadway Junction in Brooklyn, and it's going to end at the Black Lives mural on Fulton Street between Brooklyn Avenue and Marcy Avenue. So those of you in the tri-state area that want to come support Taj and his foundation, definitely come through, man. You know, we have a lot of good, you know, time, a great vibe on this show, just talking hoops. But, you know, there's a lot of issues going on out there in the world. And, you know, this is something that can really help bring the community together, especially in Brooklyn, man. There's been a lot of shootings and a lot of unnecessary violence going on in Brooklyn. And so, you know, Taj is just trying to help out there and really just bring the community together. So for those of you that can join, come out and join the foundation, man. I'm probably going to pull up on it too as well. So if I'm out there, I'll probably pull up on the walk and maybe do a little stream from there as well. Samir is here, sends us a super chat. Samir, how you feeling? Samir says, no trading up for LaMelo if we don't land high. Get Denny and draft another shooter to try to get CP3 with Frank backing him up and bring Gallo back. Okay. Salute to Samir is here. And that is that. Yeah, praise up for Brooklyn, man. Praise up for Brooklyn. Who else we got in here? The Shells in here. What up, Shells? Rob, Mike Ryan show. What's going on? Salute to you. All right, let's go back to the phones, and then we'll do the giveaway in a second. Let's go to Jay from Florida in the building. Jay, how you feeling, man?
Yo, what's good? What's good? Yeah, run it up. We need 700 likes.
We need 700. We need 700 likes, man. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys, no doubt.
Yeah. Yo, Knoxman Lotion. I did that little comment on the last show. No IG, nothing. Saying I found out my boy cut his grandfather's hair, so I might pull up on the barbershop.
Oh, so you found another spot where Knox could potentially be. Oh my God.
Yeah, bro. Yo, I was thinking, man, like, if that Babcock draft come true where we get Melo, Maxi, and Babe, bro, that might be the best draft of all time, bro. That's a home run, pass home run if that happened. It ain't going to happen, but that draft would be crazy, bro. Another thing I was thinking, bro, like, you got teams that, the Suns got Kelly Oubre for Trevor Ariza and Rivers 2 years ago. Why we can't get trades like that, right? Why we can't call the Nuggets and get Harris or Murray for let's say, a player in the draft? So put something together so we get some pros in. Like, we need young talent like that. We don't need veterans like Portis and them. Like, we need people that can actually play.
Yeah, we need to get lucky, man. Unfortunately, these teams, they don't want to help the Knicks like that, man. They want to make it harder for us, bro. You know?
It got to be, bro.
That's the last point.
Yeah, I know y'all want to win. Right? I know you want to run it up. I know y'all want to get 40 wins. But listen, this season is a short season. Got the Kuminga kid. That Kuminga kid is nasty. 6'9", 220, disgusting. Probably an all-star wing right out the gate. We got a tank, man. You know what I'm saying? Get Tibbs in here. Let him yell at him for a year. Yell at RJ playing 48 minutes a game. And then next year we come in and we get a whole bunch of vets, and then we go for it the year after next, bro.
Hey, Listen, man, I think that's just going to happen, period, because I don't think they're going to field another good roster again. So we'll be right back in it. We'll be right back in the draft again, 2021, in the lottery. We'll have that one of those Dallas picks on the arm. And more than likely, you have your own lottery pick. So, again, talent, 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 assets, assets, assets. And that 2021 crop is looking very, very beastly right now. So, hey, we'll see. I'm with you, Jay. I'm with you. I think they'll get there just, you know, by osmosis. You know what I mean? So I think we'll be all right, no doubt about it. Let's go down to Tampa. Jose's with us. Jose's in Tampa. Jose, do you know Jay? Because Jay's in Tampa too, man. Do you know Jay?
Yeah. We can all go with that guy who was wanted to see the coach of Kevin Knox out there and
Yeah, right. Well, what's going on, man? How you feeling?
Yeah. I saw the same thing about that, you know. Okay, so here's what I wanted to talk about is I'm having a hard time accepting that we get CP3 because of that $43 million salary. It's just that if we get him and next thing we know, we're gonna, if things implode in Phoenix, let's say Devin Booker becomes available, that is the kind of salary that we have, we always have in the books, that is gonna prevent us from getting a guy who becomes available. So that's why I wouldn't do it. I think that other alternatives could be better and not tied up in one player in that fashion, because CP3 is not a long-term solution. I agree that he will help the team, but I mean, Rajon Rondo is out there that we could get. You know, we have a good front office. Why not? Why can't they go out there and get a couple of good contracts of people that can help us? People can shoot. You can bring a veteran like Rajon Rondo. You can bring Gallinari.
Yeah.
And just hope that the coach can develop the players, not a player that like CP3.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair, and appreciate the call, Jose. Listen, there's a million ways to skin a cat. I'm not here to tell you that, you know, CP3, it's you know, the end-all, be-all if we get him. You know, there's a million ways to skin a cat. Rondo himself is not going to help you from your shooting perspective, but, again, another veteran point guard that could potentially help you. I think Rondo's done his days. I wouldn't really go that route. But I hear what you're saying. Using that money and spread it out a little bit more for additional vets. I understand a lot of you guys, a CP3 contract is crazy, especially at his age. What I would say is that I don't think the Knicks are going to be able to draw any type of max talent within the next 1 to 2 years anyway, so I don't see that the money being an inhibitor. When you talk about a Devin Booker, remember, he signed a 5-year deal just last offseason, so he still has 4 years left. So CP3 will going into next season, CP3 will have 2 years, Devin Booker will have four. Devin Booker will have four. The only time the Knicks will really have leverage on a trade is in 3 more years when Devin Booker only has 1 year left on his deal. That's the only time they're going to have leverage on a trade. So if Devin Booker, say, wants to be traded from the Suns, Knicks are going to have to pay to play. Knicks are going to have to pay to play. It don't mean that, you know, they can't get him. All I'm saying is it's going to cost them a hell of a lot of assets to go get him when they don't have leverage. You know what I mean? It's going to cost you a hell of a lot of capital to go get Devin Booker when you don't have leverage, when you're going to have other teams with capital, with assets that can compete to go get him. So that's a very tough trade. That's why I'm not even thinking about Devin Booker for a long time. He's still going to have 4 years left on his deal. So with 4 years left on his deal, anybody could trade for him if they pony up the pieces. With the Knicks right now, you're trying to get as good a deal as possible without mortgaging your future if you do not have the pieces in place, if you don't have the foundation in place to where when you trade for a Booker, you can actually have something here for him to play with. The point is not to trade for Booker and figure it out later. The point is to trade for Booker with a foundation that you can continue your upward trajectory. It's not to trade for him and then be in the basement and figure it out after that. You don't want to do that because you're going nowhere fast. But good points, good points. Like I said, I'm not here to say it's CP3 a bust for me. I just use CP3 an example of a player that I feel like can come in and help this team move the needle from a veteran standpoint. All right, I'm going to close the list. We got 45 people on the entry for the fitted. Remember the fitted. We're about to give away the fitted right now, the all-black joint. All-black joint, size 7.5. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. How many people we got on the chat right now? 775. Are you creeping up on 800? Creeping up on 800. So salute to everybody in the chat once again. Everybody throw your cities in the chat, man. I definitely rep Long Island, but throw your cities in the chat. We heard from Marshall checking in from North Dakota. We had Jay. We had my last guy from Tampa. I forgot his name already. Pardon. Forgive me for that. All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to go Delano as the closer. We're going to go Delano. I want to hear from Frank from Colorado, too, because I feel like he's a new caller. So we're going to do Delano, and then Frank will be a closer, and then we're going to do the giveaway. Delano, what's good?
Yo, what's going on, CP? How you feeling, man?
Good, man. How you doing, bro?
I'm good. You know, regular, you know what I'm saying? You know, I just want to say salute to everybody in the chat. I wanted to get your take because I hear everything with the coach searching, and it seems like it's basically boiling down to Kidd and Tibbs. Do you see any other candidates that they talked about, like a Will Hardy or anybody else, sneaking in and potentially end up, you know, ending up with that job? Or do you think that the entire time it's kind of been Tibbs?
No, I think it's been Tibbs all the way. Appreciate the call, bro. Definitely appreciate all the support, man, since day one, Delano. Always appreciate it. I think it's been Tibbs from day one. I think when you listen to what Leon Rose's interview and how he talked about what he saw in the next head coach, and he said that he wants a guy that's going to command that locker room, command that bench. That's not Will Hardy. He's too young for that. Tibbs, they want a guy that all the guys are going to be locked in and that they're going to respect and know that he's in charge. And to me, that's always signified a veteran head coach. I think Jason Kidd is a smokescreen. To be honest, I could be wrong, but I think Jason Kidd is a smokescreen. They're talking about potential Tibbs, Woodson, Tickett, maybe even Miller on that bench, on that staff. What do you guys think about that? I didn't see it because I saw it as three, you know, defensive minded head coaches, but hey, anything's possible. But yeah, what do you think about that? A potential Tibbs, Woodson, Miller ticket on a bench. But what I saw as the benefit of them bringing these young minds in is the same thing that was reported. You want to be able to understand what their philosophies are. What are the trends? Where do they see things going in the league? That's why you bring in an Ndoka. That's why you bring in a Will Hardy, right? But you also want to establish that relationship. You want to open that door, that communication, get to know each other a little bit. Maybe one of those guys is a guy that takes a team to the next level in 4 years or 2 years, right? That's been the average of a Knick head coach, you know. So the relationship building, same way that they do with the players. And that's what I thought interviewing all these candidates was about. I think the advantage of, if it is Tibbs, I think the advantage is that you're going to have, I think they'll have more patience with him because he has that relationship with the front office. It'll be a more symbiotic relationship with the front office because he has that experience with Rose, with Wes, with the Knicks, quote unquote. He's been here as an assistant head coach. He kind of knows how to move. So I think if it's going to be Tibbs with this front office, I think it's a good combination. Because they would have worked together and they're going to look to work in conjunction and build this team for them. And hopefully they'll have more patience to get through the rocky times. So I still think it'll be Tibbs. They're saying they're going to expect an announcement next week. I don't think you'll hear anything tomorrow. Knicks don't typically make those type of announcements on the weekend. They try to do it on a day where you get the most bang for your buck from a PR standpoint. So that's that with that. All right, let's hear from Frank from Colorado, and then we'll do the hat giveaway. Frank, how you feeling?
How you doing, CP?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing, bro?
Good, good. Hey, CP, I just got a quick comment real quick. I think we're missing the whole boat here as fans, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this first-round pick is up for grabs. I think when you look at this NBA bubble, I think there's a real legit chance that the Houston tandem could be broken up. I think you look at Indiana and Oladipo. I think you look at the Blazers and McCollum. And, of course, the CP3 rumors. I cannot see Dolan hire Leon Rose to sit, and then bring in West, Worldwide West. And then, furthermore, bring in Tom Thibodeau to sit here and lose 50-55 games. And James Dolan sitting here catching arrows for the media for another year. He brought in Leon Rose for a quick fix. And all the stars I just mentioned, guaranteed. That first-round pick is up for grabs, and one of them will be in a Knicks uniform. I'm calling it right now. Russell Westbrook to the Knicks. I'm telling you, it's going to happen, bro. You can call me crazy. You can call me crazy 6 months from now, but we'll see where we at. But out of those four or five names I just mentioned, one of them will be in a Knicks uniform. There's no way Tom Thibodeau is signing up to lose 50 games, and there's no way James Dolan, out off of the Durant and the Irving summer, is going to want more arrows thrown in his direction for another year. We are all missing the boat. And then furthermore, in my last point, they would definitely use the C word meaning culture, to talk themselves in, and especially just not being considered a strong draft, to talk themselves into getting the star. That's all I have to say. I want to hear what you got to say about that, because great. I think we're all missing the boat.
Appreciate
the Knicks are going to get one of those guys in a Knicks uniform.
Appreciate the
put
call.
I put any money on
appreciate
it.
Appreciate the call, man. You know what? Listen, that's not a bad take by Frank, man. That's not a bad take by Frank, and it's a fresh take. You know, you bring in a Tibbs. They're going to be – you bring in a Leon Rose. You bring in a Tibbs. I think it's going to be an aggressive rebuild, meaning, yes, they're going to continue to use the assets as wisely as they can, but they're going to have their ears open. They're going to have their ears open. Now, you think the Houston tandem could be broken up? I think that's a fair point. I think that's a fair point. I don't want Brody. I don't want him. McCollum would be great. McCollum would be great. Would Portland be so quick to break that tandem up? I'm not sure. I think the Houston tandem has a much greater chance of being broken up, with D'Antoni being fired as well. Oladipo, I want no parts of in a trade. I don't think that makes any sense for the Knicks, especially when he's going to be a free agent in the very next year. And especially with the injury, no one knows what he's going to be looking like right now. So I don't think he's wrong. You know, a lot of you guys in the chat disagree from the standpoint that you don't want them to do that, but his prediction-wise, that's not that far off. That's not that far off for them to be stargazing. It's got to be the right person. It's got to be the right person. And Brody's not it for me, but, you know, I just hope they wouldn't pull the trigger on something like that. I really hope they don't pull the trigger on something like that. But make no mistake, they will have their finger on it for the next person that comes available. We've said that the disgruntled star is going to be the person that they're going to be looking at to get involved with. So we'll see. But good call from Frank from Colorado, man. Great call. All right, let's give this hat away, man. Without further ado, we got 59 entries. I'm going to give you guys one more minute to get this thing going. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys for one good measure. Another solid show. Salute to everybody once again. I want to talk about one thing real quick before we get to the hat giveaway. I had mentioned a couple weeks ago and throughout various shows that we were going to have a big guest coming up, and I kind of hinted towards it. Unfortunately, at the very last minute, at the 25th hour, they pulled out. You know, they canceled. And so we had a big show planned for the fans. We're working with this former Nick. I'm not going to say who it is, but we were working with a big guest. It was a big guest. It was a big show. It was going to be another interview, but it was going to be more than an interview. There was a lot of perks involved for the fans, and, you know, didn't work out. And so we may revisit it down the road, but, you know, just for the full sake of transparency and just, you know, always being transparent on this show and letting you guys know that, they backed out on us, pulled the rug out from under us last minute. So it's unfortunate, definitely disappointed, because this would have been a real great show for the fans. And we were definitely looking forward to putting that on with this player. But for whatever reason, you know, they canceled on us at the very last minute. So that surprise, that big, you know, announcement that we were going to make, they postponed it, or we'll see what happens down the road. So just out of full, you know, full disclosure and transparency, it's not going to happen right now. It's not going to happen. So it is what it is. You know, we've been on a good roll so far. We're going to continue to do that. The movement does not stop, especially with you guys supporting. The movement does not stop. But, you know, listen, as you grow, I think, you know, you realize that there's going to be forces against you in terms of, you know, you trying to accomplish certain goals. And so with that being known, we're just going to keep pushing, man. We're just going to keep pushing. And what we need to continue that movement to give these people, you know, no doubts that this thing is bona fide, is we need your support. We need you to continue to support. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, share these videos, shout us out on Instagram, shout us out on Twitter, Facebook. I'm on everything, man. I'm always talking Knicks. So we just got to make sure that we keep the movement rolling and leave these haters with no doubt that this is number one show for the fans by the fans. All right, so let's give away this hat. Great show, everybody. Great job, all the mods. So to everybody in the chat once again, we're going to draw the hat right now. Fan appreciation for 700. I got to move this up, man, because if I'm going to get 700 every show, I'm going to run out of merch. But it's a good thing. Not a bad thing at all. It means that we're growing. Here we go. Anybody else? 5, 4, 3, 2. All right. List is closed. We got a gang of names, and we're going to go for it. Who's going to get the hat? The winner of tonight's fitted hat, 7.5, G-Money. G-Money is going home with it. Brand new era, all black with the Knicks on the brim. This is crispy Knicks metallic logo, fitted with the tags. No Fugazi, no Tim Thomas, no Fulton Street knockoff. Congrats to G Money. Adele says, yes, we can. Adele, I try to do it for you. Will Rose in the chat said, my hair's thinning. He needs the hat. Sorry, Will, you got to try again. But G Money is going home with it. So G Money, make sure we're gonna reach out to you. Dave will reach out to you and we'll get your address. Everybody on the phones, we're gonna wrap up, but please call in next time. We appreciate it. Appreciate everybody for calling in. And yeah, man, just signing out once again. Remember, this is number one show for the fans by the fans. Remember, this show is available in audio podcast format: Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Amazon Alexa. Be sure to shop our merch, man. Continue to support us. We have the Mitch Please t-shirts in the shop. We have a COVID-19 mask as well. $1 for every sale goes to charity supporting children's hunger. So if you go through the links down bottom, you'll get to my store. and then just look for the COVID-19, the face mask. So gotta protect yourself out there, right? These are the sign of the times, man. Also, the Scotch Porter deal never left, baby. The Scotch Porter deal never left. Great beer product that I use, all natural ingredients, and there's a 15% off link for first-time buyers in the video description. So they have dope beard creams, balms, they have shampoo, conditioner, everything. Everything to look right and get it right, man. Shout out Special K, Joe Collins, the Mecca TV. Appreciate everybody for watching. Steady 1100. Illa, I appreciate it. Always appreciate it. All the mods. Stafford Don, bless up. Stafford, be safe in Florida, man. All my people in Florida, everybody in Texas, everybody in California, please be safe out there. You know, we're hearing the COVID-19 numbers on the rise out there. So please be safe. Take care of yourself. Protect yourself. Protect your family. And Rob, Mike, Ryan Show, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. You already know the deal. We'll check back in with you guys at a moment's notice. You already know. Hit that thumbs up. Hit the notification bell. And tune in next time. Be good, people.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.